would like to call to order the Tuesday, October 15th, 2019, regular Board of Education meeting to order. Madam Treasurer, could you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga.
Present.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Here.
Mrs. Quessenberry.
Here.
Mr. Begany.
Here.
And Mr. Whipman is absent.
All right. Please rise for the national for the Pledge of Allegiance. We're going to be led by Brandon McGuckin from the 9X Academy. It's been in the news a lot lately.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. All right, item 2.01, approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion? Moved by Ms. Quessenberry. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dunlap. Any discussion? Seeing none.
I do have one, and it's a note. The note that was placed in the document that referenced when we kind of moved in and out of the actual agenda. It's not technically required, but I really appreciate it being in there because with the podcast weren't really clear, and we had everyone kind of moving around. So
yes,
I think that was a really good addition.
I put it there for a clarifying note.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Quessenberry.
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Aye.
Mr. Barga.
Aye.
Mr. Whitman.
Aye.
Mr. Begany.
Aye. Motion passed. Item 3.01, approval to the agenda. Assistant Superintendent Holly, no nickname tonight. I couldn't come up with a clever enough one. Any changes to the agenda?
The only changes were one personnel item change from the agenda and then the addition of an executive session.
All right. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Aye.
Mr. Whitman.
Aye.
Mr. Barga.
Aye.
Mrs. Quessenberry.
Aye.
Mr. Begany.
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 4.01, board members may speak on different topics at this time. We will start us off this evening with Mrs. Quessenberry.
Thank you. Just got to get my notes out here just to make sure I cover. Seems like it's been a really quick time between the last board member and board meeting and this one. So the homecoming parade was just awesome. So thank you to everybody who came and participated. And then several of us participated in the Shark Tank. Shark Tank, thank you, presentations at 9X. That was really interesting. Students had to kind of develop, invent, or take an old item and make it better and do a presentation on it. And then we got to offer money as to whether or not real money, but as to whether or not we would support their ideas. There were some great, great ideas that the students came up with. I was really impressed, had a great time with that. And that's about it this time.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Quessenberry. Mr. Whitman.
Not much this time, but yes, Shark Tank. I did that too on a different day from you guys or y'all, and it was a lot of fun. And yeah, homecoming. It was a good time. And thanks again to Student Council for putting it on, and once again turning it into a food drive as well. Also, I'm just kind of chuckling over the headline I saw in the I think it was This Week News the other day called "Slow Times at Reynoldsburg High." If you haven't read the article yet, go read it. It's about Mr. Horn and the Slow Foods Club. So, and that's all I have.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Thank you all for coming out tonight. It's been a great month so far. I've gotten in a few tours as well. Did get to see the new preschool area, although we previewed it before it was up and running. I was able to get a tour of that area and happy with the way that was operating. Also got to see the new sensory room at Summit. Kudos and congratulations to all the students who were involved with that. an incredible room. And when I went in, there were some students using it as well. So it was just amazing the amount of creativity that was put into that well-needed room. Also got to see a very crowded Fab Lab at Summit. So there's some programming that I know that has been displaced because of some of those moves. And again, we talk continuously about being a growing district, and I think we are definitely going to be continue growing and have to deal with some of the good problems to have and the good challenges that go along with that. Super Braxton 5K, I walked it. I did not run it like Mr. Whitman. But incredible turnout for that, and again, another wonderful cause. Remember our good friend Braxton. Homecoming, again, also another wonderful, wonderful night. A big shout out to Student Council. It just gets bigger and better every year. As Mrs. Questenberry was saying earlier, people were actually coming up and asking to take pictures on it. And our friends float, and we did such a great job, I guess. And it's such a popular, we kind of knew that was a popular show amongst teens today, this resurgence. They asked us to recreate it at homecoming, which we did. And every time I looked over, because I was chaperoning it that as well, it was neat to see all the kids taking pictures there. Lots of fun. Speaking of the homecoming dance, it was neat to watch. You know, my daughter's there and I'm trying to stay in the background, but I felt it was a very fun event, a very secure event, and I was very impressed with how smoothly it ran. When you think of what 1,200 kids moving in and out of there, I thought it moved very well and very quickly, and everyone seemed to be having a good time. I did attend the Ohio School Boards Association Fall Conference, where Mr. Rob Niedermeyer was recognized by OSBA for his Outstanding Teacher Award. And it was a packed house. It was pretty neat to ride on the coattails of that as well. I also want to do a shout-out to congratulations to Trevor Horn, who was also in Edible Columbus. If you've ever picked up that magazine, I know I've picked it up a couple of times. I'm not sure where. It's a free magazine. Very nice and very glossy, and it was a really, really great article about Trevor Horn and everything that he is doing here in our district. It's pretty incredible, the amount of work and effort that he is putting into not only clubs but classes and to kids. So it was wonderful. If you haven't been able to see it, it is out on the internet as well. And finally, I just wanted to bring up a couple of things. Board member Barga brought this up, I think, last time, and I noticed in this month's OSBA legislative review, and this is in addition to Representative Richard Brown's legislation, which he is working on in the House, but this was a Senate Bill 134 that they're working on right now, again dealing with and seeking to improve safety around buses and including students. And there was a study done. Nearly one-third of Ohio's 15,000 school bus drivers completed this survey and reported that more than 1,500 buses were illegally passed. So, you know, that was that's a lot. It's amazing. This Senate Bill 134 would increase fines for improperly passing school buses, which I think it's House Bill 83. It's either House Bill 82 or 83 is the other one that is very similar, would also increase fines for passing a school bus. This would allow for cameras to be installed on school buses. I think the other legislation does that as well. And then this one talks about, in addition, the bill makes a $500,000 appropriation for fiscal years 2021 that would provide grants to schools to purchase and install external cameras on buses. So might be something that hopefully will pass through, and maybe that's not a whole lot of money throughout the entire state of Ohio, but is definitely something that we could possibly keep an eye on and maybe tap into. So that's it for me.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Dunlap. Mr. Barga.
Great find. Great find on that. Thank you, Mr. President. I got a couple things to discuss tonight. We're going to start by talking about pot. There are edibles, there are vapes, there are joints and blunts and bowls. There are tinctures, patches, pills, drinks, and candies. There's a federal law that is incapable of reflection of modern norms, and there are state laws that are creating true traffic jams for those of us trying to address them. As most of you know, Ohio has begun to change some of our marijuana laws. Our surrounding districts have actually started to reflect this, and there's a couple different moves that are happening around the state. I had an extended meeting with our superintendent last week to discuss this in detail, with a particular focus on ensuring we don't lose our federal monies or even put them at risk, as well as ensuring that we will be complying with any medically necessary treatments for our students and staff. We also discussed details like administration, possession, and what types of usage devices would be allowed at different grade levels. We did talk briefly about nurses and administration at the lower levels, which I know is an issue that the RSSA has brought up numerous times, and so that is something that we would still need to examine and explore. I do believe that we are actually addressing the right issues with this, and we're building the right framework. And I'm very happy to see that the superintendent kind of wants to let some of the other districts test the waters for us and kind of see where this goes. But if you see it in the news, we are paying attention, but we're going to do it smart. The next two things I'd like to bring up are from recent board packets. I'll ask the super to expand at our next board meeting. I did find the description and video of the intersection of emotional support, equity, and education to be very intriguing. I would like to see a more complete explanation of how our district will be seeking to achieve this down the line when we kind of develop more of those plans. Additionally, there is a new club that is forming that I'm very, very excited to see more details of as soon as they start to be finalized. Finally, we have received our completed enrollment numbers for the year. Like last year, I'll be examining these, putting out information on our class size open enrollment, similar details. Looking at the initial documents, I believe the previous stances will remain, but there are some concerning trends that are emerging in some of our specific grades, similar to the bubbles that we've discussed previously, both up here and in various board member pages. I'll be discussing these in detail with the superintendent and treasurer in the nearest future. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Barga. Everything else has been said. The homecoming parade was amazing. I think it was more well attended by the public this time than in last year, and the weather was perfect for it. Also have a couple of other things. I know the boys soccer team is playing, I believe, at well, in about 15 minutes is it at Baldwin or Livingston?
Baldwin,
for their championship. They actually won. They're the outright OCC champs, which is the first time in quite a number of years, so that's a kudos to them for what they've done. And hopefully they'll be playing again tomorrow night, so hopefully we can get out there. Is it Thursday night?
Thursday night.
See, that's what Ms. Dunlap said when she was talking for all of it. It's okay. So those are a couple of other things. We also have a cross-country team playing. They've got their districts this weekend as well as for the junior high teams. And another thing, the big topic for me tonight is actually concerning social media. There's been a lot of conversation in social media the last few weeks about bullying in the district. Certain people have had questions and comments and concerns about how the district deals with bullying, how it seems fair or unfair based on what goes on. So I've asked the superintendent to kind of put together a process that we'll be talking about in November, where we'll have a presentation by the district staff to come up and talk about bullying, but not in the way that you necessarily think. They're not going to come up and talk about what signs of bullying are, what things like that. Those are things that are already happening in our schools. But what I think this is for parents to help understand what the process is. I think there's a lot of frustration between parents who feel that their child is a victim of bullying or have had issues, and they wonder, why is this being addressed in this way or that way? So we're going to go through and just kind of an initial step talking about what the process is for when there is a situation about bullying. There's going to be very generic examples about what would happen. So if there's an accusation from one student to another that bullying is occurring, what does the teacher do? What does the administrator do? How are the social workers and counselors involved? What's the meaning of a stay away project? What's the meaning of if one student has one type of punishment but another student seemingly doesn't have something else? Why is that the case? These are some of the more frequent questions that are out there. Because of privacy laws, the district is very limited in the amount of information it can share about students that are not directly involved with it. And a lot of times, if there's even a fight between one student and another one, you can't necessarily say what happened to punishment from one versus the other. So these are just a couple of things to provide some information, as well as some other things that the district does at various levels, because what looks as bullying in a first grade classroom is going to be certainly different from what happens in a high school classroom. And this is hopefully the first in many step process that we can bring out so parents can understand not only the process, but what it actually looks like. One of the big concerns that people had is it truly bullying, or is it just because somebody's being a jerk one day? And those are two of the things that have to be kind of separated against, so that way everybody's on tap and on page with what's going on. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the superintendent and the staff has to do with that now and in the future. In the meantime, we will go ahead and move on to item 4.02, a memorandum of agreement for our robotics team. Assistant Superintendent Halley, do you want to give any background information on this?
Sure. When we were developing the appropriate compensation for our robotics team, we were evaluating truly how much time and effort is put in by the adults who are supervising our students, and it really has become almost a year-long process. So we felt like the compensation should be equitable and comparable to our other head coaches. So that's where you'll see the level 12, and then for the head robotics coach, and then group 9 okay. for our assistant robotics coach.
For those of you that might not be as familiar with it, it's not only the competition itself. It used to be where there were specific time limits. You would get what you have to build on one day, and it would have to be completed by another day, and there was no work after that. Now it's pretty much a continuous process. But the way our robotics group has moved is an entire – it's not just about the robotics itself. It's also about the development of teamwork, as well as some extracurricular and social activities to provide – I think it's – is it – I can never remember. Is it Timmy's Toys or Tommy's Toys? Toby's Toys. There you go. Toby's Toys, where they actually refurbish and kind of help to refurbish certain toys so that way they are good for sensory kids with sensory needs. So those are just a couple of things that we do with the district, and so it's time that they've able to kind of move into this new level of things. If there's any other discussion now at this time?
Yeah, I just like to say I'm glad to see this finally up for the board approval. I feel kind of ashamed because my son was on the robotics team all during high school, and I never even realized until last year that all the work that the coaches put into it was completely volunteer-based, just in addition to their duties. And so, I'm really happy to see them put on this on a more, more standardized basis now, along with all the other coaches.
All right. There's no other discussion. Madam Treasurer, is there a motion? Moved by Ms. Quesenberry. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Seconded by Mr. Barga. If there's no other discussion, Madam Treasurer, go ahead and call the roll.
Mrs. Quesenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Memorandum of agreement is done. Item 4.03, committee reports. We had one committee report, and it was finance. Mr. Barga and I attended a meeting last week, was it, or 2 weeks ago?
Last week.
Last week. The days are blurring. We attended a meeting last week with Andrew Bauscher, the development director for Reynoldsburg, about a possible opportunity for a tax abatement service. Mr. Barga, if you want to go ahead and take, if you have any notes, and then I'll catch on after that.
This one's actually a pretty simple tax abatement. We're not talking about a complex equation with a bunch of different percentages or years or possible additional parcels that the same company might want to do down in the line. We're also not talking about something where we have to take a risk on a investment keeping value. The proposal is a hotel in an area where a hotel will probably do well that is currently an empty parking lot. So the reality is on this one, it's a great deal for the district.
Mr. Barga and I have also talked at length about creating policy. So as Reynoldsburg continues to improve and attract different businesses and opportunities to the city, the school district is a full partner in that, but with our policies in place so that way that there is a formalized setup. So we had our finance meeting, which is the introduction. We believe that in November the board will be presented from the company for the information for the hotel so everyone can hear the information, and then we'll look at the particulars and make sure that there is a process to go through so that way the community is well aware of what the investment is into the community, what the abatement looks like, the short-term and long-term impact on the school district's finances. So that way we can get growth the way that we need growth, but not at the expense of the school district, as is the case in some other areas. So I'm glad that Mr. Barga and I have kind of led the charge on that one to get those things in there.
Mr. President, could I ask the location?
It's in the 256 area, not too far from where those other hotels are, the Fairfield Inn, by the BW3s, IHOP, Olive Garden.
Okay.
All
more in the committee.
Yes, go ahead.
We did also cover a couple other areas. We discussed a commonly used accounting software, which is currently being phased out at the statewide level. We talked with both Madam Treasurer as well as her assistant to find out what they wanted us doing to go forward with. And I believe that we suggested that eventually you bring us a proposal to the board.
Yes, there'll be one in November.
Perfect. That'll come in November. And then additionally, the committee discussed the forecast and levy scenarios. I followed this up with a discussion that was an additionally lengthy meeting with our treasurer where we went into the weeds of the numbers and what our actual risk assessment is. The bottom line is that we need to remember the year 2025. And that is the year that, per our current spending and income numbers, we reach a precarious situation. It's a very decent ways out. It's two contracts for the REA, two contracts for the RSSA, three board elections away. So there's a lot that can change between now and then, but it's still a number that we have to remember. At this point, our worry should only be about cost containment and ensuring that we don't spend excessively from our discretionary funds, as well as planning a levy approach that ensures success by that year. We're nowhere close to a panic mode or even a heightened worry mode, but we should remember not to lock our future boards into limited options. We cannot return to the point where we were having to make cuts or purchase buses without any plans because we couldn't afford said plans. That requires us to make a concentrated effort to ensure that we don't, or sorry, to ensure that we do not significantly reduce the forecast, even if it means saying no. Or, of course, we can hope the state does its job.
Yeah,
but
that'll work. A couple of examples, money that was allocated for our technology fund to make sure that there's not like this crisis moment where all of our funds dry up at the exact same time. So it's a technology replacement fund to make sure our technology is up to date and on schedule, as well as our buses, so that way that our bus schedule can go on. It wasn't too long ago when Mr. Barga mentioned about the bus issue where we were at a critical point where it was, I think, 2 weeks before school, and we weren't sure what our bus fleet was going to do, and that wasn't too long ago. But we're in a much better position now, as well as moving things forward for the future. So keep an eye on that, and as always, we'll continue to talk to the state about getting their act together.
I had a couple questions. These are, I guess, some sort of financial vocabulary questions to get straight. And if I'm a little shaky on them, I know members of the audience and the podcast listening audience might be as well. So there's tax abatements and there's TIFs, tax increment financing. So to make sure so a tax abatement means for a certain number of years, this business does not need to pay its taxes, and the benefit is hopefully that it generates enough business that the other revenue it generates compensates for that, correct?
Correct.
Okay. On the other hand, then there's a TIF, tax increment financing. That means they do pay their taxes, but they're sort of set aside just for improvements to the place where that business is located. Is that correct?
Typically infrastructure. The most recent example in Reynoldsburg would be the turn lane, the right turn lane over at the Kroger on Taylor and Main. That technically is part of a TIF. I think our largest TIF funds are based out of the Taylor Square shopping area.
Yes, and there are different kinds of TIFs, and we have a TIF with a compensation agreement between the city and the district. So, yes, TIFs is the business pays all part of the money they would have paid in taxes, generally for infrastructure. Often they come with a secondary agreement with the school district so that we get made whole. So they don't pay the taxes, but they pay us what they would have paid in taxes. And there's all kinds of different iterations of TIFs and tax abatements.
Okay, thank you.
And
sorry, go ahead.
To add on to that, one of the things, and we talked about it, I think, two meetings ago, and I brought it up a little bit here with our discussion of the TIF this time. We are able to negotiate in those, and as Tammy just said, I think there's like 13 or 14 total different types of TIFs in Ohio, but there's like three that are common. But they can do everything from infrastructure improvements to the city could dedicate some for parks. So similar to how it used to be Huber Park had to have a designated plot when they developed, you know, you can actually designate that way if you want. So there's a lot of leeway we can do when it's a TIF that we're allowed to play with. An abatement, we have very little wiggle room.
Okay. And then this abatement, when the time comes to approve it, we'll have some more like numbers and details where you guys can take us through why you recommend it. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the other vocabulary item cost containment. That sounds like it might be a technical term or a term of art. Is that like a...
It's when Tammy gets very annoyed when we spend more money than we're supposed to, and so it's just a polite way of saying cost containment. So as we look forward to different initiatives, does this mean, what kind of staff do we hire? Do we reallocate our sources that are in? Do we try and make sure that we contain what we're spending so that way we don't look at that 2025 mm-hmm. deadline and make it all of a sudden 2023, 2022? We want to be able to contain that in a positive way that is not going to put us to the taxpayers sooner than what they should be.
So, for example, Mr. Begany brought up earlier our bus discussion. And what we asked from Mr. Reed during the committee meeting was, what is our normal turnover on buses? How many extras do you expect to need in this window? And can we budget to that? And so really, it's kind of trying to make sure we know what our budget's going to be going forward, that we're realistic with it. But it's definitely not to eliminate our contingencies. We built in a couple extra buses just in case. So we're not at that point. But it's, we don't want to be buying two extra buses every year. We want to budget maybe three or four over the entire window we're talking about instead.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Barga and Madam Treasurer, for the clarification.
Can I ask one other question? Not to belabor the point, but you've both mentioned the 2025, and I don't know if you can put it in a nutshell. Why is that the golden year? What is so special about it? It probably can't be put into a nutshell.
As of right now, assuming that nothing changes in any way, shape, or form with the contracts between the RSSA, REA, state funding, and all the other things that go into it, national economic catastrophe, things of that nature, that will be the year that we are going to be exceeding, our costs are going to be exceeding the revenues that come in addition to reducing our cash on hand balance. Which
that's
is not
deficit spending you're deficit talking spending. About then.
We actually start spending more than we take in based on now the forecast is not completed yet because we did not have state numbers when we had this meeting. They're just now coming in. So let me just be clear. They're very preliminary numbers, and that forecast will be coming to the November board meeting. But looking at very rough numbers in 2025, if we don't have additional revenue in 2025, 2026, we will actually probably flip to a negative cash balance. Now, again, that's negotiations away, that's board away, that's two or three state funding cycles mm-hmm. away.
Right.
But it's always good to start looking ahead and just seeing what's out there rather than waiting until you're 2023, 2024 and like, oh my gosh, we got to do something. So it's good to start planning now. And 2025 seems right now to be the year that if we don't have additional revenues that we would have to make some more drastic decisions than probably what we would like to make.
We will have our bond rating back up and can borrow instead, right?
Our bond rating is good. It's the our debt
our,
right
our
now
debt
is,
in,
is
okay.
high compared to our tax valuation, but hopefully that will also change in a few years.
And because our debt is based upon the Wagner Road buildings as well as the Summit
yes.
High School and
yeah,
Elementary
it's
School.
All of our past buildings, and so we have high debt compared to our valuation because when the economy is bad, our valuation actually dropped in both reappraisal and triennial update.
Okay. And that
and it does a 10-year look back, so those low numbers are still impacting the calculation.
Do you see how happy she is that she's talking about this? Just thought I'd throw that out there.
We should, though, still be in a position even in 2025 to be able to use other methods to at least carry over for a bit, correct? In terms of borrowing or other loan-based?
Yes, you can do some borrowing in some loans, yes.
But lots of variables between
lots
now
variables,
and then.
Yes. Lots of things could change. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I just, you both mentioned that year, so that kind of gives me an idea why. Thank you.
When I had talked with the superintendent, we are in the process of getting ready to arrange what we call a board retreat, and that's not near as glamorous as it sounds. It will probably be in the conference room over at central office where we would go through and discuss not only any items that come before the board as far as that, as far as things that we need to discuss, norms, policies, procedures, but it would also be looking on having an open discussion about what the future looks like. Was it concerning levies or if it concerns additional building projects and things like that. Again, I think what this board has definitely done more so than previous ones is looking to the future and making sure that future boards are not hindered in the same way that sometimes this board has been with financial decisions. So it's all about looking ahead and seeing what it looks like 5, 10, 15 years down the road. All right. Is that all for the Finance Committee report? All right. Moving on, item 5.01. I do not believe we had any prior requests to speak. Did we have any speaker slips, Madam Treasurer?
No, I do not.
All right. We'll go ahead and move on then to item 6.01, 02, 03, and 04 are all up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barga. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dunlap. Madam Treasurer, it's all yours.
All right. On for approval are the September financial statements. We do have an appropriation modification for a preschool restoration grant. This is a reallocation of funds from ODE. It's about $22,000-$23,000. We'll use that to offset some of our preschool OT, PT, and other services we provide to those students. We do have a handful of donations. Our slow food program received a couple donations, some garden supplies from Strader's Garden Center, and a cash donation from Ultimate Nails. Some of our buildings also received some donations from Alliance Data Your Cause. And then we do have a transfer for athletic pay-to-participate fees. This is the board's share of the pay-to-participate fees. So the students pay a portion and the board pays the other portion. And that's all that I have.
Any questions?
I have a quick question on your Fund 29, the Education Foundation Fund. I got a question earlier today, and I just want you to put into the record if it is in any way related to our new third-party education foundation, and if not, exactly kind of what sort of funds go into it and what we can use it for.
No, the name is very confusing. People often get those confused. So our new education foundation sits outside the school district, and it will collect funds to support whatever the foundation chooses to support, field trips, other student activities. These are funds within the district, and most of the money in there are monies left over in building budgets at the end of the year that we set aside in this fund. And it's just a vehicle to set aside those funds for the buildings to use in future years. It also has, so it kind of is an umbrella of some different things. That's the bulk of it. A previous superintendent had made a donation of $25,000. That sits in that fund, and that's the two main things, but no relation to the other Education Foundation Fund.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comments or discussion items for finance?
Just reiterate that the two similar sounding but different names. We have the Reynolds Work Education Foundation, the first one, and the second one was
the Education Foundation Fund, which is Fund 29 in our checkbook.
Okay. Thank you.
And for the record, we did discuss naming it something else, knowing that there was something very similar. There are a few organizations out there that have, you know, kind of fun names, but the majority, are called Reynoldsburg Education Foundation, Whitehall, Bexley, whatever, and we just really felt that we wanted to stay traditional so it would be easily recognized as an education foundation, which is usually separate from a district. So,
all right. Seeing no other discussion, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Quesenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 7.01, 02, 03, 04, and 05 are up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Second by Ms. Dunlap. Assistant Superintendent Halley, do you have any highlights or anything specific out of this area?
Sure. One highlight you're going to see in the certified staff is the fifth full-time kindergarten teacher that we needed to add at French Run Elementary. That is, at last count, we had 114 kindergarten children attending French Run. And those are all in that residential area. So there's no open enrollment, no transfers from other schools, just French Run.
So you're saying all-day kindergarten is popular?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Popular, but also families are moving in to the area. You're also going to see payment for other services. It's what we call extra duty forms. So the Board of Education typically pays our teachers for time spent on committees and work outside of their day on occasion. And then lastly, you'll see the winter supplemental contracts for our athletic teams.
All right. Any questions?
I do have a quick question on 7.02. There's a amendment to a salary. Is that just because we had a clerical error the first time, or?
This individual has more years of experience than previously.
Okay, so we just screwed up when we originally did it. I want to make sure, like...
Are you talking about the change of salary?
Yeah, yeah.
So what that is as teachers take more coursework, they're eligible for a higher salary, and we do that. They have two different deadlines through the year. I don't know them off the top of my head, but this person met the deadline, so his was adjusted. Then the other one, I think, is in January or February.
Perfect. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
So this is where the robotics would show up, or?
Correct. Under supplemental. Supplemental staff, 7.04. Down at the bottom, you'll see Brad Pressler for robotics head coach.
It's at the top of the next page, actually.
Oh, here's the paper. All right, thank you.
All right, seeing no other discussion, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Klesenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Items 8.01, educational travel, eighth graders to Washington, D.C. We had them speak at the last board meeting, and I'm sure they're excited. Assistant Superintendent Halley, I assume that all of the insurance and documents and everything else is already good to go?
Yes.
All right. Are there any, is there a motion for item 8.01?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barga. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Quesenberry. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Quesenberry?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 8.02, educational travel, eighth graders to Italy. Do I have, they also spoke at the last meeting, and I think that they have a very large number of students, as I recall, that have already signed up and are doing things, if I recall. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Barga. Any discussion?
Yes, please. Couple of things. After the presentation last month, I sat back and kind of pondered this. Still pondering it, actually. So two things came up in my mind. First of all, those students who we have, I think, what, 56% economic disadvantage? Those students, would they have an opportunity to go on a trip like this? So part of me feels, are we gearing this more towards students who can afford it? So we've got those students who can't, and that's a pretty large amount. The second part of this is that they're eighth graders. And I'm just not certain that I can say that an eighth grader should be going out of the country. It doesn't feel right to me. We take them to D.C. as that experience, and now we want to take them out of the country. That scares me. I know parents have that right to make those decisions as to whether they go. However, I can't support it. So that's my piece.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Yeah, so the figure, fellow board member mentioned about 56% economically disadvantaged and how can they reasonably get an opportunity to go. So this was probably mentioned somewhat last time, but I can't remember what was said. Can anyone else?
The amount?
Just, I mean, what fundraising opportunities do they have, especially with the new IRS rules?
They're doing some process, if I remember correctly, in terms of trying to do combined fundraising. I know that I did ask, I think on this one originally, if we thought the Education Foundation would be ready, but I don't think now. I know that they're doing some group fundraising. They're trying to get some local businesses as well. She had a couple different ideas, but I don't necessarily know if there's anything that is going to overcome the barrier that Madam Quesenberry is raising here for her vote.
No, okay.
And regarding the concern about sending them abroad, across an ocean is qualitatively different from a D.C. trip. Actually, that occurred to me, too. And I kind of took it like, that's a little bit out of what I'm, you know, entirely comfortable with, but not enough to tip me to say, hey, wait a minute, let's whoa up here. So I'm not sure what I think about that yet. Did any other board members have any thoughts they'd care to offer, or like comparisons to what other schools have done with this kind of trip abroad?
Well, go ahead.
I have just one comment on that age, and specifically Italy. My family came the other way on a broken-down banana boat at a younger age. We're flying out. We're insured. We're dealing with parent permission. We're dealing with a bunch of chaperones that we trust. We're dealing with a tourism company that we trust. I think when it comes to, I understand when it comes to fear, and I understand that sort of dynamic, especially as we look at the different changes happening in certain areas within the EU and those concerns, but that should be the parents' say. I think the, you know, I understand that concern, but I don't think that that's actually something that should be our responsibility. As long as we make sure that the insurance is right to protect the district in that, that's no different than a parent saying, go with your friend, you know, and that happens. So I think when it comes to that part, I think we definitely shouldn't hold up based on that, because every parent gets to make that decision. As it comes to the money part, that's a different rhetorical approach, and I don't necessarily know if we are the body that should make that decision for others, or if we should create some sort of veto because of socioeconomic realities of our district. That's a different debate. I don't necessarily think we should hold up this specific proposal, but if the district wants to explore that as part of an equitable approach, I think that would make sense for policy committee to examine if we want to create that sort of hierarchy, or sorry, not hierarchy, eliminate that sort of hierarchy. With this one, since it's already been proposed, since they're already starting the fundraising, I think it's a little late in the ballgame with that one. But I do think that's actually a really valid point on this.
One thing I would add is the Educational First Tour company that we're proposing to partner with, have partnered with educators for over 50 years. So solid, reputable company that are accustomed to working with school districts.
Having led a number of these trips myself in Columbus City Schools, which has a significantly higher rate of economic disparity, is it impossible? No, it's not. I ended up going on three tours at the current location that I'm at. The fundraising rules were a little bit different, I'll grant you, so there are going to be things to be worked with that. As far as the age one goes, I know that we had to wait until our kids were at least, the company doesn't allow anyone any younger than six to go, and I would also probably agree with that one. But when you get to a certain age after that, you know, we had my son Jonathan and my other son Alex, they still talk about their trip to Italy when we took them on the same thing with our students. It's still something that's there. But I do agree that the economic disparity issue is things. So what we ended up doing in our district, in our building, is we would alternate years. We would have basically a two-year fundraising cycle. So you would go and have the opportunity to increase. So if you're looking at a Baldwin Road school, so maybe they go at one point this year, and then they take a couple of years for kids who are interested so they can bank a little bit more in terms of the fundraising. So instead of just 1 year, they can do two, along with some other things. And the company is first rate. It is absolutely wonderful to work with financially, plenty of different options for people. And, you know, but make no mistake, it is a trip of a lifetime. And while it is expensive, it is a very good value at the same time. But it's something that I'm hopeful that Ms. Dunlap's Education Foundation one day will be able to help address with those issues along with everyone else.
So, and I wanted to weigh in that as well. I think, you know, while we are not quite up and running, I mean, we have our bylaws and all the paperwork in, and we're getting close to being very, very official, and but it does take some money to be able to, or some time to be able to accumulate the funds necessary to be able to start awarding scholarships and mini grants, which are two of the things that we want to do with our foundation. But I do feel that we are a district of opportunity, and I would like to see opportunities provided. If there is a barrier for financial reasons or otherwise, I would hope that we could somehow come up with something to overcome that. I lived in Germany for 5 years. My niece came over as an eighth grader, and it was an incredible trip for her. And granted, that's just one person. That's not a whole group. But that was my experience. Granted, I think it would be up to the parent to determine whether or not their child is mature enough to take on international travel. But I think doing it as a group, and I know that the chaperone level, or at least the ratio, would be low. And
1 to 6. Okay. One teacher for every six students.
So incredibly, incredibly low. I think they are on a 2-year cycle, right? This is, so they do have 2 years to be able to fundraise for this, if I remember. Yes.
This trip is slated for June of 2021.
Right. So Mr. Begany, some of the things that you talk about, sounds like they're kind of working that in. But hopefully the foundation can help out at a different point in time as we get up and running. But I still think that this is a good opportunity.
Sure. Okay. I finally like to say that, the safety concerns, I've thank you for the responses there. And also the economic stuff that it's, I don't want to just put the brakes on this right now with all the effort that's already been going on. But I like the idea of, I guess it would be the policy committee, if this is something they can kind of see what guidelines we have for this, because I kind of suspect that the and I may be completely wrong, this is just kind of like my suspicion, so if anyone knows it immediately that I'm wrong, you can correct me, but I suspect that fundraising efforts that they may say that, okay, anybody can theoretically go here, but I think that for some people with less money, it's not going to be, they can or they can't go. It's just they have to work a lot harder to do it. So, in effect, that's going to be a lot less of them going. I'm looking at Madam Treasurer's district financial profile here. The word I'm thinking of is local tax effort index. There's something, if there's some analogous concept like that for, family effort to do this kind of thing, I would like to see that sort of go into the discussions about this.
Well, I know the superintendent has talked about potential new partnerships with EF Tours, and I know he's keeping that kind of veiled about exactly what that looks like. So I'm sure that is something to also include with this for future trips, so that way we can kind of coordinate and address some of these other concerns that are out there. I'm just glad that my son doesn't want to go to this particular one just yet, but I know he's waiting to go to one soon.
Mr. Whitman, your concern there, are you... I'm trying to wrap my head around what you were suggesting there. Are you basically saying that because of the institutionalized system around each individual student, be it their family members, their friends, that networking, that we still will have the disparity no matter what we're going to do? Or is it like, are you saying like it's going to be exceptionally hard for some of our students to overcome that? Because I think we agree there, but I think the entire purpose of what Ms. Lindsay and Ms. Dunlap are building is to try and at least artificially remove that sort of barrier for those students who are in that situation.
Remember, that's one part. I don't want to build up this foundation. That's the sort of purpose.
I don't mean that. Kind of like the concept there is we're going to hopefully be able to remove it. I don't know if the district ever can, but I think our third-party partners at least can hopefully do that. But is that kind of...
That's more or less it, okay. I think. Yeah.
All right. If there's no other discussion, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Quesenberry?
No.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Item 8.03, athletic travel. The wrestling team goes to a tournament. I believe we're going to have a visitor from the wrestling team. I think he was unable to come today, but we'll be here next month to talk about it, as with all the information about insurance and everything else and all the details. Moving on to the next one, educational travel, youth and government proposal. Do we have anyone here to join this discussion? Anyone? No? Oh. I'm sure you know the drill by now.
Good evening. And first of all, thank you for approving the EF and for bringing up your legitimate concerns. Of course, we also discussed those as a building before we pursued. So they are something we continue to mull over. Moving on to the newest topic, I'd like to introduce my partner. This is Mr. Myers from the YMCA, and we're working on bringing youth in government, which is currently active at Bell Academy, down to the middle school level, because clearly I have nothing better to do with my time, right? Just kidding. I am really passionate about finding every child a niche and a home in our buildings and in our community where they feel like they connect to the school in a really unique way. And so we'd like to bring this down to let the students at Baldwin experience what that's like when they work with a true government in action type project. Initially looking at the small group this year, the 8 to 10, just as a pilot test the waters group, and then expanding later on. Mr. Myers has been very generous with us and has granted us scholarship dollars so that we can reduce the $300 per student cost to $175 since it's our first year, which is remarkable. That includes all of their hotel, all of their meals, all of their activities while they're there. It is the Sunday through Tuesday, November 24th through the 26th, and I really just think it's a fantastic opportunity for our students to be able to embrace.
Charlie, are you guys going to have, like, last time where we were able to donate to Reynoldsburg students specifically, not individual ones?
So if the district or the school would like to do that, yes, I can take care of that.
Perfect.
Living here in the community, it's easy to do that. So,
thanks.
It's a great program. We've known a number of students that have, you know, walked through these paths before and have gotten engaged not only in this realm but also in actual city government in Reynoldsburg, which is exactly what you want to see the youth engaging in, is opportunities to bring change. So I love it. Thank you for bringing it down to the middle school level, and I think it's a great idea.
What does this look like as compared to, because I've gone several times down to watch the high school delegates. What does that look like at the middle school level?
So it'll be identical to the high school.
Oh.
The only main difference is we only offer legislative program only, so there's no judicial component within the middle school.
Okay.
So it's everyone's a senator or a representative. They're spending the time in the committee rooms, in the chambers, themselves, just like the high school program would.
Mm-hmm. And how big is this? You know, I don't want to say statewide because I know there are certain regions, but how big is this as compared to the high school?
High school, we now have two different opportunities to come. So high school each has about 350 at each conference.
Mm-hmm.
Middle school has right around 300. We're in our fifth year now for middle school.
Wow. So, yeah, very, very similar numbers.
Cool. What is the code for absenteeism on this? Is this considered like an activity release? Is that so? It's not really considered an absence.
It is not considered an absence.
Okay.
It's equivalent to a field trip.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much. I look forward to hearing about
it. Thank you. And thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
All right, moving on to item 9.01, updates to policy. Do I have a motion? Moved by Ms. Quisenberry. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Madam Assistant Superintendent Halley, do you want to just give us a brief update on what this change in policy is?
Certainly. The only change you're going to see is the compliance officer. Previously, it had an individual's name, and it has been changed to the name of the role that will be the compliance officer for this policy, and that is the Director of Student Services.
So it just helps streamline who can and cannot be from the district point of view of everything?
Correct.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Item 10.01, 02, and 03 are all up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap. Do I have a second? Second by Ms. Quisenberry. Mr. Reed, go ahead and take it away.
Sure, this will be quick. An energy update. We are now 5 months into our energy guarantee. We are currently, in 5 months, we've saved $324,000 plus. That's a 88% increase, or 88% better than our guarantee. At this pace, we will save in a 12-month period over $750,000 in energy costs. And as a side note, we didn't really have any temperature issues a couple weeks ago when schools were closing. We had a couple warm rooms, but nothing major.
In Columbus, you mean, when they were closing in Columbus?
And other districts throughout the state.
Okay.
Correct. In regards to what we call IFAS, our engineered, exterior insulation and finishing system, I'm going to pull up a picture, just makes it easier. This was bid out. It was awarded. obviously pending board approval. This is a large image, but I just want to give an example of what this is. Essentially, it looks like stucco, but it's not stucco. This is at Livingston. Just waiting for this to load up. So what we have here is, looking at Livingston, we have two types of siding. We have brick and we have ephes. Ephes.
Can you see that?
Oh, they're already down. Oh, woo.
I'll put it back on. Ephes is what's around the pack here, the top along here, above the brick. It's along most of this second floor and parts of this second floor as well. It is failing. School buildings are not allowed to use IFAS anymore. Actually, that dates back to the late 90s. But this is a restoration project that would also bring a 25-year warranty on this to stabilize the building's exterior, take care of some leaking, and other things. So that's IFAS. And then lastly, surplus. We have some microscopes at Hannah Ashton. A steamer, two ice cream freezers, a warmer, a food processor, and mixer through food service that are cannot be repaired. They're too old, along with the three broken microscopes at Hams. And then at Summit High School, we have a mill and a concept turn 60. I don't really know what that is. I know it's part of what robotics did use, but it has not been used in a long time, nor is it part of the curriculum. So to actually get it up to speed would cost more than buying a new one. So we will be surplusing that and probably selling it.
Mr. Reed, just to go back to the IFAS, I know that we talked about that last month as well when we had the Buildings and Grounds Committee minutes. But when does that work take place? While students are still in school or not?
Since it's outside, it will be during school hours.
Okay.
We will.
Even if there's scaffolding or,
Well, they won't be putting up scaffolding during the day, so it won't be loud. But we will be working around any testing schedules just in case there are issues. But we don't anticipate there being any sound issues with this.
Mm-hmm.
If there are, we push it to weekend and evening work, or we push it out. So.
Okay. So it shouldn't – but you don't anticipate it impeding –
no.
On our learning. Okay. And then when does, you said there's, so there's mold, right?
Can be. There could be mold.
There's, okay.
Yeah.
There's not, we won't know until we get in there and find that?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Once they fix the exterior, then we can fix the interior.
Okay. And that's when we'll be able to determine.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
A question. So how many bids did we get?
We got two. It's actually a very, very specialized process.
Mm-hmm.
There's really only two contractors in the state of Ohio that do this.
Okay.
And we got it from both.
And what was the difference in the two bids?
The difference was about, I want to say, $49,000.
Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you.
You just said something about the mold. And you're talking about doing the cleanup, potential for mold. Let me rephrase
potential.
That. For mold. Cleanup while students are there. Do we have any concern with?
That would be inside, I think.
The inside.
So that right. Wouldn't be when students are there.
Okay, so that we would never have like that exposure risk?
No.
Okay.
No. When we repair the inside drywall, we'll do that in the summer.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Just,
yeah.
I heard the two things and wanted to be sure.
Definitely.
Okay. Any other discussion points on items 10.01, 02, or 03? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Quesenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Barco?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Bagany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 11.01.
Did we vote on the policy change?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Item 11.01, executive session item D. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Dunlap, second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Barco?
Aye.
Mrs. Quesenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Bagany?
Aye. Motion passed. We will adjourn to executive session where we will come out. There should not be action. Thank you. Madam Treasurer, please let it note for the record that we have returned from executive session at 9:22 p.m. Can you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga.
Present.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Here.
Mrs. Questenberry.
Here.
Mr. Whitman.
Here.
Mr. Bagany.
Here. I'd like to bring a motion to deny REA grievance number 2018-19-05. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Bagany.
Aye.
Mr. Whitman.
Aye.
Mr. Barga.
No.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry.
No.
Motion passes. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Questenberry. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman.
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry.
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Aye.
Mr. Barga.
Aye.
Mr. Bagany.
Aye. Motion passed. Meeting is adjourned.
Okay, so.